So what I wanted to look at is basically like this. So Rosh Hashanah, two-day yontif.
Yeah, this is a big one, this binding Isaac thing, man, I got to tell you.
Okay, so that's perfect. So let's look at it. So basically Rosh Hashanah ends up playing out to be a two-day affair, no matter where you are, Israel, outside of Israel, 2 days, which is unusual.
Well, and Israel's 2 days too. Right?
Yes. So it's a two-day yontif. And if you look at the Torah reading, it's basically actually 2 days is one long, it starts with chapter 21 of Genesis, where God remembers Sarah, and she has a child, Isaac. And then in the first day's reading, so you're troubled by the binding of Isaac, but what's even more interesting, or not more interesting, but also needs to, you know, contemplation, it says that, tells us about the celebration after Isaac is born, and then it says, it's kind of a play here, but it says, Tomer Sarah Sechok Asali Elokim, God has brought me laughter, everyone who hears will laugh with me. And then it says, on the day of the weaning of Isaac, so then it says pretty much there, it says, Sarah saw the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had born to Abraham, playing. Now the Hebrew word is misachek. So the first thing it says, Vatomer sar sechok asali elokim, sechok and misachek are the same shoresh. So here he's playing, but it's also the word of sechok, misachek. So on one hand you have her laughter, God made me a schok, made me, laughter, or, you know, and Isaac's name itself is also from that shoresh of sechok, by Yitzchak is also God, Yitzchak, that you will laugh. So, and then you have Yishmael playing with him, misachek. So it's all very much connected, but what, as a result of Yishmael playing with, quote unquote, playing with his half brother, so what happens is Sarah says he's got to go, and then Avram doesn't want to do it. God says, "Don't listen to what she's telling you." So Kol Asher Tamar Yelecha Sarah Shema BeKola Ki Bitzchak Yikarel.
I'm sorry, who has to go?
Yishmael got
Hagar,
but really Yishmael. So Yishmael got the boot, and Hagar had to go also. So. So what happens the next morning? Avram gets up and sends them away, and so basically they use up their water, and they're at the point of death. She calls out, and God hears her, and actually doesn't hear her, but Yishmael came at Kol Hanar. God hears the voice of the child, the cry of the child, of the boy, of this young boy.
Which boy? Hagar's kid or
Yishmael,
Isaac?
Ishmael.
Ishmael, yeah.
And then it says that an angel calls out, don't worry. Kishamalokim et kohanar basher husham. God has heard the voice or the cry of the boy. From where he is. Basher Hashem, we learn from that we judge a person from where they are at the time, not like in the future. And then basically it comes out, she opens her eyes and she sees, sure enough, there's water there, there's a well, and she's able to, you know, revive the child, and he ends up being fine. And they end up, okay. And then from there, we have the story of Avimelech, who was a king in the local area, comes to Avram to make a treaty, which is also a whole, like, what's going on there? And sure enough, Avram does, makes a treaty with Avimelech. And they have some issues with there's some fighting going on with the, you know, ownership of the wells in the area. They make a treaty. This is all Rosh Hashanah's reading, okay? And then they make their treaty, their pact. It's called Be'er Sheva, because that's where the two of them made their oath. Nishba'u Shnehem, Kisham Nishba'u Shnehem, and therefore the name of the area is called Be'er Sheva, over their treaty of the wells. Okay? And then Evimelech goes on his way with his Fichol Sar Tzvo, his chief of his troops, his head of staff of the army. And Abraham planted a tamarisk at Beersheba and invoked there the name of Hashem, the everlasting God. Okay? And he lives in the land of Plishtim a long time. And from this, and after this, and from this we go into the next day's reading. So that was day one. Day two leads us to the binding of Isaac. Now, okay, so now, God says, I want you to take your son, your only son, the one you love, and it's Isaac. And now here's where I wanted to focus. He says, V'lech lecha, I want you to go for you, el eretz hamoriah. Now,
wait, this is different than the parsha of lech lecha, right?
Correct. So earlier on we had lech lecha, So the interesting thing about lech lecha, so let's just look at it for a second. I forgot to put it up here, but let me bring it up quickly. So lech lecha is the same. It's actually kind of surprising that you would have this. You have here, but look at the pattern. It's pretty unbelievable, because here we see lech lecha. Now lech lecha means go forth, in the way they translate, but literally it means lech to go, lecha for you. So in the original call, right? So God says to Abram originally, I want you to go for you, from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's home, to the land that I will show you, and as a result of that, I will make you a great nation. I'll make your name great, and you will be a source of blessing, or you'll be blessing, or you'll be able to, and then those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Fine. So, but the idea of leaving, like God's basically saying to Avram at that early initial point, is that I want you to go for you, and that basically what he's really saying is that by you going out of your origins and going to this new place, you will become the best that you can become. It's like you're going to become you. Or you can be, yes. It will enable you. And so that's the directive, is go for you, go become you. That kind of like this idea that the only thing that we can give God is us becoming ourselves. Meaning like everything God, like, you know, got it all. But he doesn't have us.
God doesn't need anything from us. Right.
Right. Okay. But he can actually become. So now, okay, so now we have that directive. And then we go back now, comes to the second day of Rosh Hashanah's Torah reading. And then here we have that God is going to test Avraham. And he says, I want you to go and take this, you know, and he goes through this whole long list. Your son, your only son, the one you love, Isaac. And here he uses the word again, V'lech lecha el eretz hamoriah. You're going to go for you. Okay, which is crazy. So now you're saying, God's saying to him, by you doing this, you know, taking your son, the one that you've been waiting for, that you just had at the age of 100, and your wife is 90, this miraculous thing, and now I'm asking you to take him and bring him as a carbon, as a sacrifice, right? And then, but look at the predication. It's predicated on this idea. Also, you know, like we have this like thematic word or phrase of lech lecha, go for you.
Right.
So as if it's to say, somehow in this process of going in this crazy, you know, really like antithetical, really goes against everything that we know. Here Avram is in the world of where people are like doing crazy things. There's a lot of really crazy idol worship and different ideas that are going on at the time, right? And so Avram...
Was it known at that point that Judaism does not do human sacrifices?
I mean, it's...
Was that a thing?
Here, let me show. Wait. Let me show you something. Look at this. What did it say here? Well, he says everlasting God, El Olam. Okay. Right? They were going back to like right the story before, but we see from Avram's life that he clearly was going in a trend away from whatever this type of he didn't. It's clearly a counter to everything that he understands about God and the living God of Israel, as we call it, right? Even though there was no Israel at this point, right? It's just the early stages. But But so here are this idea that it's going. God is saying, "And lech lecha l'aretz Moriah." I'm asking you to go for you to this place. Okay. So like that's like so it's like wait a second. How does that work exactly? Right. So it's really a big curveball. I mean, the curveball of all curveballs. Obviously, everybody like struggles. Like, how can it be? How could God even ask him to do something like this? You know, and so it, this, in terms of the way the rabbis understand,
and it's for his own good.
Correct, which is
it's
just
for
like
you, less than ha.
Shocking. Okay, so now,
yeah, good for you, but not good for Isaac.
Well, that's true. Also, I wrote a paper years ago where I said that perhaps the focus of all these of this Torah reading is not on Avram per se only, or maybe it's really the story of Isaac because. One of the things that you see here is that it starts with the birth of Isaac and then goes through this whole thing. So like the Rosh Hashanah readings are really one long story of the maturation of Isaac. Obviously, Avram is going on here also. There's like multiple themes that are layers of themes that are going on here. But it's interesting that this could be the for example, the whole idea of B'yom Higamel at Yitzchak, the day that they weaned Isaac, the language is Higamel, which is Gamal, which is camel. So, like, the idea of weaning is the idea of creating independence. Like, a camel becomes, once you give it all its water, it becomes independent. That there's this idea of a creation of independence that we see within Isaac that also is something to be taken away for, like, on Rosh Hashanah. We're starting out. It's a new process. We're starting a fresh year. And in that process, there's this theme of Higamel also going on, this idea of for us to become like be able to step out and maybe get out of this, you know, dependencies of things like that nature and to become independent, to be able to also allow this as a period of start over, but also to then, you know, become. So now it says that Isaac, going back to Avram. So Avram goes early morning. Gets his chamor. Now there's amazing parallelisms between this and the story of Bilam, who goes out to curse the Jewish people because and there's like great contrast and sure enough in Ethics of Our Fathers, the contrast is made between Abraham and Bilam, that there's like something between the two of them in chapter 5 worth looking at, not for now, but it's just as a side. Now, what's cool here is that they're going where to Mount Moriah, which is basically it's the place of the Holy of Holies, the place of the accretion rock. God is going to show him this place. He sees the place. It's always, you know, the place, right? He goes on the third day. Avram raises his eyes. He sees it from afar, the place, and then he leaves. He's got actually. It's not just Isaac that's coming, but he takes Ishmael and Eliezer. He leaves them there. You guys hang out here. We're going to go to Ko, to the place. Again, it's like very ambiguous. There's a certain ambiguity about always the place. It's always the place that God will show, will choose, and this and that, which is an interesting thing. I think the answer to that on the simplest level is that it's a place that's constantly evolving and becoming, and so therefore never is given a formal name, because that's the nature of the place. It's always in a process of becoming. Now Avram goes. Vayikach Avram et atzeila. He takes the wood, and he puts the wood on Isaac, his son, and he puts the fire and the machelet. Now the machelet is a weird word, because it translates as the knife. But ma'achelet in Hebrew, the word shoresh is aleph, you see it's ochel. It's ochel, which means food, right?
Yeah.
Hama'achelet is that which will feed. So he's taking the knife, which is in simple level, right? You take a knife, you kill an animal, it's what feeds you because it allows you to now partake of the food, right? By allowing you to prepare it. But here, Rashi explains that this knife will become the knife that feeds the Jewish people forever and ever. Because this knife will symbolize that willingness that Avram has to basically follow the will of God. Meaning, if I think I have it all figured out, so I know that God is a loving God that loves life, he would never ask me to sacrifice my child. So if he tells me counter, I'm not going to listen, right? But the thing that will take you to the next level is a recognition of the fact that there are things that I just don't understand. God's above, he's greater. Now, what's cool about the, and here's what's, maybe this is the theme that really kicks into gear here, about why does this become the reading, the Torah portion for Rosh Hashanah, is that...
Yeah, right.
Okay, so what's the theme? The theme of Rosh Hashanah is the coronation of God as king. Now, king, a king wears a crown, okay? Now, Kabbalistically, the crown is what sits above the head. What the crown symbolizes is there is a place, there is a you know, we have our minds, we can comprehend, we understand, we're tasked to get the best understanding possible. Always supposed to try to understand more and more and better and more clearly. But then we have here, okay, we have 2 minutes to go here because I got to wrap it up, getting picked up in a second. But basically, the idea of Keter, of crown, is that which is above comprehension. So the idea of coronating God as our king on Rosh Hashanah is coming to this connection with God as we actually have to subjugate ourselves and lower ourselves, or basically be willing to subjugate our will to his will. So Avram, till now, everything makes sense for Avram. He is able to come to this, understand it, look at the world, reverse engineer, see a creator, see a singularity in creation. He understands that's God and that he's running the show. But this is taking it to another level. Avram, lech lecha, go for you here, Rosh Hashanah, when God becomes our king, what we're saying is there's something even bigger that we don't even understand. And now we have to subjugate our will to that. The will of God, that when he says things to us that we don't necessarily understand, that we're willing to go ahead and go along with it. And so that's what happens here, is that he's going to go along with it. And then the reaction is, he takes the machelet again, he takes this knife to kill his son. And then God says, wait a second, al tishlach yedcha lanar val tasna, don't touch the boy, don't harm him. Because now I know, ki ataya dati, now I know, ki yirei Elokim ata. You really are, you fear God, you see God in a sense. Yirei is fear, but also you see in the sense that you understand now, I see that you're able to get to that level of subjugation of where it didn't make sense and you're still willing to go with it. Because there's a recognition, meaning we know at the end of the day, everything that God does is for the best and this and that and everything should make sense. But the truth is there's also recognition of our we do have a certain limitation, that we are limited and that we have, therefore, God who's unlimited. It's very cool, the Baal HaTanya, when he talks about God, he always refers, a lot of times he talks about God as the Ein Sof, the endless one. And the endless one, meaning that there's something that's beyond, like similar to that idea of the crown. So that if Rosh Hashanah is about crowning God, what we're saying on Rosh Hashanah is that we recognize the fact that there's something that's beyond us, that's greater, that's God, and that we are saying, Hashem, you are our king. We're crowning you, that which is beyond our comprehension, and that this whole experience of the Akedah, of the binding of Isaac on Rosh Hashanah, is so important because we see that Avram goes through that experience of becoming greater in his own right, lech lecha, but in the process of being able to stretch himself to say, I understand that there's something that's the crown that's beyond me, and I need to be able to subjugate myself to that, and that's Rosh Hashanah.
And then if doing that, then recognizing is a higher thing beyond you, if recognizing that will somehow then allow you to sort of become the better person, how does it tie into...
Okay, so this... So if we understand that there's a universe, there's a creation, because Rosh Hashanah is the celebration of the creation of man, but it's within a universe, right? And of a place that's so vast. Like we have the luxury today of seeing and knowing. We have our scientific knowledge that knows, and his ability right? We know it's so much that we're a little dot on in a massive universe that keeps on going. So this is Rosh Hashanah. It's the idea of accepting that there's a greater being and a greater universe beyond us. Within that, the nature of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is Bishvili L'Nivra Olam. The world was created for me, the individual. So we're incredibly great. And our greatness also, though, can be, we have to subjugate our greatness to that of the Ein Sof, the endlessness of God, which is what Avram does here. Avram's able to become that much greater.
But in doing that, does that somehow free you up in some way?
Yes.
Become a better person?
Yes.
Where is that link?
Because
Okay.
Because then we can tap into like the Torah. The knowledge of Torah in its vastness, it's saying when I let myself subjugate myself to the knowledge of that, which is coming from God,
yes,
which is so much greater, it allows me to now say I can be that much greater. I would say this would capture it. Norman Lamb was asked, Alav Shalom, he was asked by a guy, he said, do you really believe that God is aware of every little detail in your life? So Norman Lamb said,
but how much pizza I'm going to eat this year?
So Norman Lamb says to him, I understand why you struggle with that because your God's very small. But for me, my God's so vast that yes, I don't have I don't struggle with that, because with a God that's so endlessly vast, for him to be involved in every detail of my life and be aware of it, it's not even an issue. So I think what we're saying on Rosh Hashanah is that the carnation of the Keter, that aspect of the beyond our comprehension and recognizing that the vastness of God and the world and everything else.
Yes.
So then attaching yourself, yes, it allows you to be able to tap into that incredible vastness and potential, which is what the Rosh Hashanah theme is really bringing us.
I see. So you're tapping into the potential, your own inner potential, your own vast, endless inner potential, sort of like mirrors the vast, endless potential of the Almighty.
Correct, exactly. All right. On that, I got to hop.
Got it.
But wishing you a great week, and it should be a sweet and happy and extremely incredible year of just tremendous, endless blessing. All right. Talk to you soon. Okay. Got to hop.
Thank you.